Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in our gospel reading was the recording part of Jesus calling Matthew. And then they enjoyed a party at Matthew's house with other tax collectors and other sinners. The Pharisees objected that Jesus would eat with such sinners. Quoting Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus said that the Lord desires mercy, not sacrifice. Then Jesus explains his mission in very clear language. For I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. Now we take this short step back to get the connection from last week's gospel reading to this week's gospel reading to see how the two passages fit together, because they teach us about our God and also about our response to the Lord our God. This is very much about our response to the Lord our God. For our response must be built upon new life in Him. Not static adherence to ritual, but new life in Jesus Christ. You see, it's easy to follow ritual. Get the checklist out, mark it off. I did that, I didn't do that. I did that, no way would I do that. And so forth. That's the way of the Pharisees. Keeping the checklist, keeping their long set of rules, associating only with others who kept the law. They had developed a system of 613 laws. 365 were negative commands, do not do commands. 248 were positive laws, the do this laws. And what happened was a heartless accounting system and a cold, arrogant form of righteousness. That is self-righteousness. And this resulted in the people who followed these laws. They developed a rigid attitude growing towards pride in their righteous behavior. And they lost their relationship with the living God. And the really heartbreaking part of it is that they did not know it. The Pharisees, they were pleased with themselves. They rejected sinners. And they missed the greater point of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbors as yourself. Jesus quoted Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 to the Pharisees in his answer he gave to them. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And the rest of verse 6 from Hosea reads as this: and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. So all of verse 6 goes, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. What this means is that you can bring your sacrifice, you can bring your burnt offering, you can go through all of the ritual, all of that ritual, and do it very well without any acknowledgement of God. It's not about the sacrifice. It's about the heart. The Lord desires our heart. Chapter 9 of Matthew teaches about the importance of mercy, to show mercy. And the next thing others ask Jesus about is a point of the law, fasting. Instead of going and learning the meaning of what Jesus had just taught, the calling of sinners and the desire of mercy, he's asked about fasting. Jesus, your disciples, they go to parties and have fancy feasts. We fast. The Pharisees fast. Your disciples don't fast. And almost seem to want to add, and that's just not fair. There's also a hint of bragging. We fast. Pharisees fast. Isn't that just wonderful? But they're missing the point, which is their relationship with God. External things can bring you closer to the Father in heaven. Self-denial, fasting, prayer, devotional reading, singing of hymns, quiet meditation, they can bring you closer to your Father in heaven. But our human weakness is to start to brag about our spiritual practices instead of falling more deeply in love with our Father in heaven and our Lord Jesus Christ. The question about fasting is a distraction from what Jesus is showing in his own life: mercy to the lost and forsaken. Calling to repentance, men and women broken by sin, bringing forgiveness and restoring the relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Now, as an aside, we really don't know if the disciples fasted in private or not. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught about fasting in such a manner that others won't be able to tell you are fasting. Make yourself clean, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it is not obvious that you are fasting. Jesus taught, fast in secret, and the Father will reward you. So perhaps it is presumptuous to say categorically that Jesus' disciples didn't fast. We just don't know. But yet here we have Matthew chapter 9. We have Jesus being merciful, compassionate, drawing sinners to himself with the greatest of love. Forgiveness of sin is being expressed, along with great healing. And instead of rejoicing and praising the Lord God, the Pharisees are complaining. John's disciples are complaining too. The bridegroom is here. Rejoice. Celebrate. Cherish the moment. It will be fleeting. There's a time coming when the bridegroom will be taken. Then tears, prayers, fasting will fill the lives of the disciples, meaning the time of betrayal, crucifixion, and death of Jesus. At that time, there will be mourning and fasting. But at this time, rejoice and be glad, for the Son of Man is here. Your Messiah is here. Your Redeemer is here. And to help get the point across, Jesus tells a short parable of old and new. The simplest way to explain this is like this. As a Christian, you become new. You are new on the inside and you are new on the outside. You can't take the things of Jesus and add them to your life here and there like a patchwork quilt fashion. You can't do that. You can't mix faith in Jesus with following the ritual laws of the Pharisees. And you can't mix faith in Jesus with following Buddha, Krishna, Confucius, Muhammad, New Age, paganism, or any other combination of Oprahism. You just can't syncretize religions of any sort. Expect to add just a little Jesus to all the other rituals and beliefs you practice will eventually tear you apart. Jesus is just incompatible with any other religion because Jesus is unique and exclusive. He is the only Son of God. Christianity is not a religion. It is a living, dynamic, vibrant, life-giving relationship with God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. New wine in new wineskins means Jesus intends to make you new through and through. You can't hold on to the old ways of living. For the Pharisees, this meant to let go of their self-righteousness, of living by their rules, and become new, just as Jesus said to Nicodemus, as recorded in the Gospel of John chapter 3, you must be born again. Adding in from St. Paul a few thoughts, Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now, by dying to what bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 will draw it out a little more clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This new life looks different in different people. Some people, their life before Christ and their life after Christ are dramatically different. Old habits, old sinful lifestyle is instantaneously left behind. Immediately set free from addictions, and everything is new. We rejoice and praise God for such mercy given. Now others experience a different new life. They have daily struggle to trust in God's mercy and grace to get through the day. Old habits seem to hang around, and try as they might, the old habits drag them down. They tumble, they fall. Their faith in Jesus is very real. Just their path is their path, and it's different than other paths. Yet they still walk by faith. Some people struggle all their life with certain things, but they're still living by faith. We rejoice and praise God for such mercies given. But today's culture is taking a different tack. The culture says if you're struggling so hard, you must be born that way. And it's okay. Stop struggling. It's not a sin. So they look for means of self-justification, another form of self-righteousness. They say, be you. Or in the words of Madonna, express yourself. And Miley Cyrus is following in that path, unfortunately, and many others. They say, Jesus accepts you as you are. But they go on to say, and you don't have to change. It is true. Jesus accepts you just as you are. Come as you are is true. However, the part that says you don't have to change is akin to putting a new patch of cloth on old clothes. Or putting new wine in the old wineskin that Jesus was talking about. It doesn't work. Romans, we bring in Romans chapter 6 here. And oh, I'd love to read all of Romans 6 because it is so powerful. But again, listen to those brief verses we heard already this morning. To set them, see how they mean this new life. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may be increased? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. when you get home today, I really, really urge you to pull out your Bible at home and read through all of Romans chapter 6. The Word of God, to get a clearer understanding of this new life in Christ. The new wine for new wineskins. There is so much packed into Romans chapter 6. You will be blessed to devote time today in quiet devotion with the Lord and His Word. The Pharisees and John's disciples' preoccupation with fasting shows they were worried about the rules. Jesus' answer to them was to point them to focus on the relationship to the living God. Jesus came to call sinners, to bring forgiveness, give them new life, to call them home, and restore the relationship with the living God that was broken by sin. Your Christian faith, first and foremost, is about a living relationship with the Lord your God. The grace of God, fill your life with the finest and choicest of new wine. The bridegroom is here. Celebrate and rejoice. Amen.